Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Don't Quote Me. I'm your host, Orla Condon, and this week I'm joined by writer and pop culture enthusiast, Emma Kelly. Coming up on today's show, we're talking all things Eurovision after the 2023 Song Contest took part in Liverpool this weekend. Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield woke up on the wrong side of the bed today before I See This Morning performance. And Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are being their most relatable yet after being caught bickering in public on multiple occasions. In other news, I'm buzzing with excitement for the return of Real Housewives of New York as Bravo announces huge news about the show today. And Emma is spotlighting a very special moment from this year's Eurovision. Let's get stuck in. Okay, it was a big weekend here in the UK this weekend, and no, Coronation's over. If anyone missed it, Eurovision happened. I did not. I'm very much a fair weather fan. I take interest at very specific times throughout the year. The same cannot be said for you, Emma Kelly, who spent, what, a week in Liverpool?
4 days, felt like 3 months. So wow. Basically, yeah.
Wow. You weren't working, were you? Were you there as a fan?
I was there as a fan. This is the third time I've gone to Eurovision, and This is the first time I wasn't working. So very different experience, and the best experience I've had at Eurovision so far.
I was going to say, like, because obviously I presume when you're working it, you have a press pass, it gets you to certain places that obviously a regular ticket holder can't get. But the sacrifice is then that you're working and you have to go into a media tent and you have to, you know, submit certain amounts of words. You have to do a certain amount of social, like, so you can't kind of fully let the event kind of take you where it wants to. So I imagine for you, it must have been a nice experience to finally just kind of sit back and just enjoy it.
Exactly. Like, I think that there are pros and cons because it's a lovely experience being in a press center or getting to see like backstage and getting tickets to the final or tickets to a semi-final without having to absolutely sell your soul for tickets.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just so nice being able to soak up the atmosphere in the city because I don't know if anybody has been over there or if anybody has been looking at kind of like what was going on in Liverpool. They pulled it out of the bag. Like, there was so much stuff to do, and you wouldn't have been able to do it if you were working. You would have been at the rehearsals, or you would have been interviewing, or just not really be able to be a tourist, a Eurovision tourist. So it was absolutely brilliant. Now, I am paying for it, so if I had it in working, I probably would not sound like this.
I was going to hear really rough. I thought it was going to be rough today, but you're not sounding too bad. Yeah, you're not doing it too bad. There was lots of pressure on Liverpool to deliver. A, because they are not hosting because they are winners, as most people know. They are hosting on behalf of Ukraine, who couldn't host because of safety reasons due to the war. So there was a huge pressure on them to create a show that found that balance between representing the Ukraine while also representing the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. and also kind of justifying them getting to host. Now, obviously, they were picked because they came second last year because of Sam Ryder. They weren't the only option. There was a huge bidding process last year. It ran for many months where there was like upwards of 10 cities that applied to be considered, and they were ranked on lots of stuff, right? Like a proximity to airports, accommodation.
How many hotels are there? Yeah.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Like, did they have a stadium already that could be, you know, used, and how many would that fit? And transportation in and out of that state. Like, it was quite vigorous, and there was multiple rounds. Mm-hmm. And it came down to Liverpool and Glasgow. And there was a lot of people really, really hoping it would be Glasgow. And
yeah,
I think there was a fraction of people who were disappointed, presumably Glaswegians and people that live closer to Glasgow. But it seemed like Liverpool created this Eurovision city. Like, it just felt like it was everywhere. And there was so much space that even if you weren't right at the centre, you were still really involved.
Exactly that. Like, we went, so me and a friend went, and we didn't have tickets to any of the live shows. And it did not matter because you were just in this like Eurovision bubble. Like, you get out of the airport and there is an info tent with the nicest volunteers in the world, just like, oh, you must be here for Eurovision. And then you get into the city and everything was just so bright and lovely. And I've been to two host cities before. I was in Turin last year, and I remember getting into a taxi and talking to the taxi driver, and he was like, oh yeah, there's some sort of contest thing happening, some sort of TV thing. I doubt that there was a person in Liverpool who did not know, because you couldn't get away from it. Yeah. But they also, they have the music history. They have the sort of pedigree that a lot of cities don't have. Like, even just if you want to just run off the Beatles alone, then you're set. And then they had the sort of, oh, the anniversary of Sonia performing, and they had all these little hooks to get them in. And then they just have Liverpool just being the nicest group of people in the world.
I mean, the tourism board in Liverpool, like, could not swing a cat for good publicity over the weekend. And it wasn't just about the Eurovision. It was about the people. It was about the city. It was about the environment. There seemed to be just such an overwhelmingly positive review of how the city handled itself and the display it put on for guests from kind of home and abroad. And it just, I think it felt bigger watching it as well.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if that is the kind of familiarity bias of the BBC and the famous faces that I knew. And, you know, you didn't have that kind of corny jokes that happen when it's translated into their fifth language, because Europeans are so much better at languages than we are. Like, it felt bigger. It felt more glamorous. It felt more polished. And I don't know if that's a fair thing to say, or if it's just because of the TV that we consume. It felt more like that, you know?
I do get that, because I kind of thought I was getting more excited because it was somewhere I knew. It was somewhere that wasn't like miles away. I like didn't have to bring an adapter. Like, I was very excited. I just think they really put on a show. Like, everybody I spoke to, whether they were English, Swedish, Irish, whatever, everyone was saying the exact same thing, that they just loved it. And it was, I think it was more the fact that they really embraced it and they threw themselves into it. They really wanted to show that, okay, maybe people will get a harder run of it because we aren't the winners. We're not the reigning champions. So we need to actually put on a really good show and be like, we deserve to host this. And also they did have a difficult job, like you said, creating the balance for Ukraine, because that was my biggest nerves going into it. I was like, if they just make this all about the UK, I think it's going to be real dodgy. But I think they struck the balance correctly, and it's quite emotional. There were bits of it there. Now I was like tearing up.
And like, I wonder, I think having the coronation last weekend, the weekend prior in the UK, this month has been quite a built up month in the calendar, living in London for a while now, because it's felt like, God, within 2 weekends, there's going to be these two huge occasions in the UK, and it's like not going to happen again for a while and for different reasons. And I wondered if either the coronation would infiltrate Eurovision too much, and they would make it too much God Save the King and too much like trying to leverage that, or if the BBC would be so distracted by how big that is as its own production that they would just divide and conquer. And it did feel like they did that. I know we had in the opening kind of montage, they had Kate Middleton playing piano, and like, but it felt subtle. It didn't feel PR.
It was a bit tasteful, like it kind of popped up and it didn't dwell too much on it.
Yeah.
You know? It wasn't like, there were bits because I was like, oh God, is this going to be like a full sort of like thing? Like, because I knew that Charles Camilla were going to be in it somewhere because they were in the ad before, but they didn't dwell on it. They, as far as I'm aware, they didn't mention anything throughout the show. Because
I don't think so.
Nobody cares outside of the UK, essentially. That like people in like Albania, they're not really gonna care. They're like,
I'm sorry. When I was home last weekend, right? I could not escape Cork's Red FM when I was home. Every fucking radio show talking about the coronation and how it's a joke and how it shouldn't be aired. And I'm like, but your whole radio listing for the whole weekend is the coronation. Okay, cool. Yeah, no bother. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying. It felt like a mark of a really important kind of cultural piece in the UK without being, like I said, a PR campaign. They also did really well with the postcards, which I always think are kind of a nice little breather. They're obviously very, they're necessary because that postcard between each act is the chance for the stage crews to come out and change all the staging over. There's been tons of video on TikTok over the last couple of days of how quickly all happens. It's crazy. Like it's not a joke. And those postcards they did, usually it's a scene from the hosting country and then a scene from the country that's about to perform. They did that. They did a scene from kind of around the UK. They also did something from Ukraine and then the hosting city. They kept the traditional heart with the flag in the middle of the Eurovision. They kept that with the Ukrainian flag, but incorporated this United by Music messaging, which was a really smart way of kind of introducing I just thought they managed that blend really well. The hosts as well was blended. They had Alicia Dixon, they had Hannah Waddingham, who was just amazing.
I mean,
if
you're going to do another coronation, I'm saying Hannah Waddingham for the monarch. She's like,
and you know what's so funny? Like, I don't watch Ted Lasso, and it's something I want to start, and I want to start for a while, and it's just the pesky Apple subscription. I won't lie. I'm like, oh, like I can't subscribe to something else. But she is just so, like, engaging as a presenter. She managed it so well. Like, she like, slid into, like, 10 different languages so comfortably. Ugh. She interacted with the crowd so well. There was a point during the final where there was like a bit of booing and she was like, not in our house, but it was like really, the tone was perfect. She just managed it so well. It was also Ukrainian singer Julia Sanina and Graham Norton was kind of double jobbing. He was up in the, what's it called, the commentators. Yeah. And then down for kind of the presentations and stuff.
That was my only thing that I was a bit like, the thing is, I understand Graham wants to keep the commentating job. So he didn't want, just in case, to give it away. Yeah. In case it was a bit like, oh.
And Mel was good when she jumped in to cover. She was good.
Well, I do think it should have been one or the other, because I do think there were bits which were a bit disjointed in terms of that. But I think they all did really well. I mean, whoever came up with Hannah Waddingham as a host choice, because that was so left field, like, give them keys to the BBC.
Crazy. Because she wasn't, was she known as like a Eurovision super fan? I know she's done lots of theatre and she's like,
she's a
musically
girl.
Trained. Like, but I don't think it would have been like an obvious choice because of, you know what I mean? Like I totally agree with you about Graham. I saw someone on Twitter say that they should have done it, like, do you know on Anton Deck's Saturday Night Takeaway where they go into the commentary box and it's like coming up or whatever, that they could have actually featured him up in that space and kind of brought those people into the conversation a bit more.
Yeah, that would have been good.
But yeah, I think they handled it really well. Did your winner win? Because mine did.
Mine didn't. And as a background of myself, I, like you said, I'm a Eurovision nutcase and I have been listening to these songs for months.
Are you a cha-cha-cha girl?
I'm a cha-cha-cha girl. I've been a cha-cha-cha girl since the Finnish national finals. I have been on the crazy train for a very long time. And it was a weird one because I was saying for ages, I was like, okay, it'll be Finland or Sweden. We know it's going to be Finland or Sweden. I was like, it's probably going to end up being Sweden. Fine. But then this weekend, the momentum went entirely the other way. Everyone I spoke to was a Korea person. They were like, no, I do like tattoo, but I think it's swinging Finland's way. It just felt like a bit more momentum. So it was actually quite a surprise on the night. But I love Loreen. I never envisaged a life where I would be cheering against Loreen. Like, that was a real, like,
who have I become?
But and I mean, it was a brilliant song.
Brilliant song.
I'm delighted for her. She's like, there's no reason that Loreen should not be a superstar. Like, it doesn't make any, have you, like, she's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful. She has insane. Like so many bad euphoria. What, like, in the history of Eurovision, that is a pivotal moment in Eurovision.
She changed
history.
Eurovision.
She changed entirely. Like, I will never forget, and I take the piss out of my brother for this all the time. He's a year older than me, not at all engaged Eurovision at all, very much like your quintessential Irish lad. And after 2012, we had a home computer in our like dining room at home, and he would be like studying, inverted commas. And anytime I would pass, you would just hear it like blaring out of his headphones. Like,
a man of taste.
But it was like, she's bringing in actual pop music fans that don't even realize where this song has come from. Like, I don't understand how she is not more well known.
Yeah, and like, she's just, her vocals are out of this world. And I think my sort of thing was, being a sort of Eurovision fan that like watches the national finals, watches Melfest and stuff like that, with the staging of Loreen's performance originally, the sandwich toaster she was in was a lot bigger in Sweden, and then they couldn't physically get it to the UK.
So
for a while people didn't know if the staging would actually have to be changed properly because it was just too heavy. But they managed to get it, and I think it still really worked. But if you're used to seeing the original one, it did look a little bit kind of downgraded. But the vocals were still unbelievable, and when she performed on the night, I mean, we were watching it in Euroclub, which is basically every year in the host city, they'll have a nightclub that's taken over by the OJAE, which is like the Eurovision fan club. And they'll just put on a series of nights, of club nights, with like performances and stuff. We watched the final there, and we were on a big table, and all of, like, me and a couple of people who were all sitting with Finnish flags, we all just turned to each other and were like, no, she's won, hasn't she? It's like, fine.
There was a lot of Irish people as well rooting against her for... Like, I don't think it's a good reason, because I'm just like, I'm sick of Ireland like lamely clinging to Eurovision, because we've won it the most, and Johnny Logan is the king of Eurovision. Like, heritage is important, history is important, right? But like, we have not made a fucking dent in this.
Nearly 30 years,
bar Jedward, which everyone took the piss out of before they went there.
Icons. I went to see them this week, and it was one of my highlights.
Sorry, I preferred, what was the water one?
Waterline.
I did prefer Waterline to Lipstick, but anyway, we won't get into it. But this was big, because Sweden have been hot on our tails for years, and it has been coming. It was just a matter of when. Sweden just performed so well. They're so invested in this as a country. They really put the structures in place to put forward like genuinely like chart topping music. Mm-hmm. And this year it happened. They equaled their 7-time win. Loreen also became the second ever person to win the Eurovision twice. She's the first ever woman. So her and Johnny Logan are now this weird king and queen of Eurovision. I don't like those visuals. But it was like, a lot of people were like, I don't want them to win because Ireland is whatever. And I'm as patriotic as the next guy. But like, claim the territory you deserve. Do you know what I mean? Like, exactly. We don't deserve Eurovision claims anymore. Like, I don't, like, Niamh Kavanagh, Emer, what's her name? That was it. That was my life. That was it. We hosted in Cork during my life. That's it. I cannot remember any of those moments. Like, we can't, like, shut up and get on with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want to invest in Eurovision and you want to send all your pundits out there to be like, what Ireland needs to do, then do it and stop being like, well, Johnny Logan won it twice. Uh-huh. Like, and what? Like,
I am such a, I want us to do well, and I really want us to, I think we're having the run that the UK had in the last few years, and they are starting to turn it around again, and we're just now getting bitter. And like that, I think we can obviously be like, do you remember that amazing era of the 90s where we were just winning and bankrupting ourselves and it was unreal? But you have to then put in the effort. Like, it's all well and good being like, oh yeah, we won three times in a row, and but that was literally nearly 30 years ago. And yeah. Sweden, they won in like 2015. They've won again now. They've been like, oh, they've only not qualified once. And like last year they were top five. And you know, it's just, they've never had a bum year, really. Yeah. Whereas we have not had anything other than bum years for a really long time. So yeah, I just want us to get like it to give us a bit of a kick up the arse and be like, look, you can't be resting on the seven wins now. Sweden will get an eight. Like, they'll get an eight.
100% within the next like five to seven years they will. I mean, like, they won 2012, they won 2015 like you said, and they've won again now 2023. That's three in the space of just over 10 years. Like, that's Ireland in the 90s. Like, that is like a really good record. Like, and it also costs a lot, right, to put people into it. Like, it does cost a certain amount of money to like enter this, and it's like, it's just frustrating when you're like, you see people like harping on like, oh, what Ireland needs to do now is go back to the good old days or this, that and the other. It's like, oh, like, shut up with your bad ideas. Like, just good ideas or shut up. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I just, it just frustrates me that people feel this sense of like entitlement to
it's
get through.
And it's just like that, oh, well, no one likes us anymore and blah, blah. I'm like, they'll like you if you send a good song.
Yeah.
Like, that's the end of it. Like, as well, like, there are people who get booed in the, like, in the room. Yeah. And they're still coming top 10. So it's not about like, oh, anything about politics or anything
Clear.
About this,
if Israel can come third.
Third.
And getting chanted, getting 12s. I was like,
that was my shock of the night.
Was it not only like 4 years ago that there was like major controversy because it was like constant booing every time their name was mentioned?
Yeah.
And it's like,
like, what do you say? That was my weirdest one of the night because it just didn't even register on my thing. It was a Blackpink song, basically.
Yeah, it was. 100% it was, yeah.
With Chanel's dance break thrown in. And I, like, we were just like, what is going on? Like, but yeah, I just think that if we're going to take, we can either take it seriously or we don't. Just choose one or the other. And I really hope that, it feels like a little bit kind of may have changed a bit that we're really getting annoyed with it now. So maybe we will. And as well, all I don't want even need to do well. I just want us to get through to the final.
100%.
I am so sick of not being there.
Honestly, even just like 75 points, I'd be grand. I just can't do like less than 50 anymore. I'm just like, it's not worth it.
Last place, I think that's fine because then at least it'd be like, oh, do you know what? Like, yeah, okay, that was a fun year though, weren't we there? Because people don't care anymore. Like, they're kind of like, you get a little round of applause. We don't get a round of applause anymore.
No. We don't even get a participation trophy. No. And like you were saying, like, it is kind of changing. I mean, I think it's interesting that Sweden won the jury vote by an absolute landslide, by a landslide. But when it came to the public votes, they were not anywhere close to that ranking. They did not get a single 12 from the public vote. Finland won the majority of those 12s from the public vote. And the flip side can be said for Sweden when it comes to the jury vote. So that introduces this argument of like, oh, it's all political. We're all voting for our neighbours. I'm sure the UK don't give us anything. You have an opportunity still with the jury vote to, to, like, she didn't get the same numbers by a long shot.
I mean, she still did come second in the televote. Like, so it wasn't as if it was like, so there's been like a few years where like someone who's come fourth in the jury vote has like then won and like come second. I think Duncan Lawrence was fourth in jury and like second in televote or something like that. So that was strange when he won because it was like, oh, that, like, he was just kind of good in both. That's just whatever. Yeah,
mediocre.
It's fine. But yeah, like, there is always an opportunity. You can send a really good, well-sung song and it'll do well in the jury, or you can send something batshit and it'll do well in the televote. But like, there's been a lot as well with the sort of Finland versus Sweden narrative, people saying the jury shouldn't vote anymore because like, we're the people. And I'm like, if you only have a televote, someone will send an influencer or like a TikTok kind of star and they will mobilize their fans and then they will just get them to vote because you can vote everywhere now. So it's like, I don't want that. I do think the juries need to be there, but I would like it to be weighted, maybe have like 60-40 maybe, because Like, I did laugh with the UK jury. I really enjoyed, because one of them this year was Heidi from Sugar Babes and one was Shaznay Lewis. And I'm like trying to figure out who they are, because it just gives you the juror one, juror two, juror three. And I'm like, bet you that was Heidi.
So like, so it's kind of a mix of like industry professionals, right? Like some, yeah, I know in Ireland, experts. There's like radio presenters who are like known for like their music, yeah, contributions on like broadcasts and stuff. And it's kind, it generally is kind of a new bunch every year, right? With some familiar faces.
Yeah. It's, I think like last year, I don't actually know who was on the Irish one. I know last year the UK one, like Tom Aspall was in it. And there's like, yeah, a real array of people. Like it's not just like five suits in a room.
Yeah.
And like, I trust the Sugar Babes and All Saints. So I mean, like,
I trust them with my life.
It's democracy.
So I mean, look, your third year, you obviously it's a different experience, like we said at the start, like at going as a fan. Like out of 10, like how did Liverpool do? Do you think it was a lot of pressure for the UK and for May Muller, their act, who had a lot of like pressure to live up to Sam Ryder being the whole, this kind of weird host city. Like it felt like a really positive show. It felt like people were super engaged this year.
Yeah, like for me, I can't actually, I'm loath to give anything a 10, but it was 10. Like it was just, there was no faults. It was just a really lovely upbeat weekend where they really threw everything into it. Like they had another thing that host cities have to do, they have to have the Euro Village, which is like where you can go watch screenings and things like that. And on Friday night it was entirely free, and they had just like a concert by Sophie Ellis Bextor followed by Charlotte Church's Late Night Pop Dungeon. I transcended, I will never be the same. And it was just like, it was free and it was lovely and everyone was dancing, and even if they weren't a Eurovision fan then, probably a Eurovision fan now.
Yeah.
And it was a good year of the mix of songs. Like you had your Lorraine, yeah, the legacy act, and then you had your Korea, which was just like a spectacle madness. You had your,
but there was no friend. Like there was no like piss taking one. I didn't think, like, no, even the, like even the spectacle, even Finland, that was like, oh, this
song
is like a serious song, but it was like, it's still a banger. Like there's a reason the crowd has gone mental. Like it felt like there was no turkeys, pardon the Dustin pun, but like there wasn't, like there,
no, I think even like the more for novelty act would be like the Croatian act, but that's actually their thing. They're like this anti-war satirical kind of like band. And yeah, that was even great. And then like the Edgar Allan Poe song, which was still a bop, even though it, and it was like a critique of the music industry. So there wasn't any duds. I just think it was a really well-rounded show that's like, if you're not involved in Eurovision yet, just come on in. This is what it's like all the time. Don't tell them that's not always like that. Yeah, Hannah Waddingham won't be there next year, but Petra Mede may. And she's like one of the Swedish hosts that's done it before, and she's basically the Swedish Hannah Waddingham. So hope.
I remember that stint of 2012 to 2015, and they had really good quality hosts. Like everyone's really like, oh, these hosts are actually like really funny. They put on a really good show. They pass back and forth between each other really well. And it does, that sounds like such a non, they love a skit, but it, like they know how to do it well. Like it sounds like such a small job, but like we've sat through so many cringe-worthy presenters that you just ignore, that it's nice to actually be like, oh, you're actually a part of this production and you kind of have the reins here. So yeah, high hopes for 2024. Let's move on to much sadder news. People are very, very sad about this one. Holly Willoughby and I was going to call him Peter Schofield.
Peter?
Philip Schofield are beefing. We cannot escape the headlines. It is everywhere. I don't know about you, Emma, but it is on my feed. It's fucking everywhere.
And I was in a bit of a Eurovision bubble and I was kind of like, what's going on? I'm like, why are people just tweeting about Holly and Phil? Like, I don't know.
Okay, like, has someone died tonight or something? So this one is kind of weird because nothing really like happened. Like there's not like a main catalyst for like the last week, but it feels like for the last week, it has been pretty constant headlines about these two, where their relationship is at. But to the point where this morning it was like, it has been confirmed that like Holly and Philip will go on to This Morning together to host. And it was like, okay, right. If people are genuinely, like, if the TV pundits are tweeting, being like, it's been confirmed they're doing it, then we're at a point where this is actually not just rumor. This is, like, serious. Like, there's genuine discussions happening. Because, I mean, I think we both worked through the entertainment desk through the Ruth Eamon, Phil, all that kind of
beef. Oh my gosh.
That was like, you
what
knew
a time.
You knew Ruth and Eamon just didn't have the leverage to cause any real ruckus, you know?
Absolutely not.
But yeah, this has been going on for a while. It started, I suppose, the first kind of bump that they hit was after the Queen's death last September, when there was huge controversy about them reportedly skipping the queue when she was lying in state. And the kind of backlash against them and how the tide really turned, because they really were, and still are to a degree, they're like the UK's darlings, and they always, you know, speak so highly of the royal family. They did all these arts and crafts segments before the coronation. Like, they're obsessed. Like, and that's like the target audience. But this felt like then a slap in the face to that target audience. They came out with a statement at the time to say that they had media passes and that they were there in a professional capacity, and then therefore were entitled to skip the queue. It seemed to generally kind of help them weather the storm, right? Like, they kind of got through it.
There was a couple of weeks there where it was dragging out. But yeah, I do think they came through it eventually, because the thing is, the only thing that people would want more than complaining about them is not having them on the television, because like, what happens this morning then?
Yes, right? So like, this is the question. It's like, they have been such a solid duo on that show for 14 years, winning numerous awards. Like, they are very much like an immovable object in British TV. Like, it feels like they're aunt and deck almost. Like, they're that kind of solidified status with the show. That it does. It makes you question, like, what does this look like for the show and for ITV, a couple that have been together for so long? This all kind of kicked into gear in the last few weeks. Philip Schofield was off air for a number of weeks while his brother Timothy was being tried for sexually abusing a teenage boy. He was convicted of 11 offences and he'll be sentenced actually this week on the 19th of May. And Philip posted on social media after that conviction saying he no longer has a brother. He came back to work a little while later. He addressed it on This Morning at the top of the show, that it had been a difficult time and that he appreciated the fans' support and all this kind of stuff. And then weeks later, this comes up and there's major, major headlines. It's said that there's been a couple of days now of crisis talks between ITV, Holly, Phil, trying to work out which one of them would go on air. Would both of them go on air? He's after getting a new lawyer, apparently, and a new PR firm. He came out with a statement last Thursday to be like, it's been a difficult few weeks for the pair of us. Holly was reported to be furious. She removed mentions of him on Twitter. And he came on This Morning and they didn't mention it. Mm-hmm. And it felt like if you would come on a couple of weeks ago and mention your brother being like convicted for sexually abusing a teenage boy, you would think you would address a rather large elephant in the room that is every headline story about you over the last couple of days. Like, this,
and the fact they were doing the front, like, the, not the front pages, because they're on all the front pages, but they were discussing what's in the news this morning.
You're in the news.
Your face.
Imagine if someone hijacked that segment. It was like, yeah, so like, let's get into it. Like, what's going on? Like, brilliant.
It's so strange. Like, I just think, like you said, you address it. Because you can't not. It's just going to like suffocate everything in the room, because now everyone, every entertainment desk is tuning in at 10 with about four reporters on it waiting for something. Yeah. The body language experts are coming out in force.
They are. They're like,
James is having a field day.
She's like, sign my check. I'll happily do it. Like, but it's crazy. Like, this is the smoking gun. Like, it does feel like, we've covered a lot of these stories over the years, like, you know, reported tensions and, you know, and a source close to production and all this kind of wishy-washy stuff that like could be true, but like, you have nothing really meaty to be like, this is happening. There is a lot of smoke here. Like, there is a lot of smoke here.
And not even just the smoke, that like Phil actually put out a statement alluding to the fact that there's something going on. Because I was a bit like, when I was reading up on this, like when I was trying to figure out what was happening, I was like, oh, it's just source stuff. It's like, whatever, fine. And people are trying to create a bit of drama for whatever purpose. And then I was like, oh no, they're actually talking about this. And it is a weird one, because like Holly and Phil, like even Joe, they used to go on holidays with their families together. Like, so they'd be working and then take the same holidays and then go on holidays together. Like, this isn't just like people who are being forced to work together.
Yeah.
So it is a lot. And like you said, if one or the other goes, it's going to be massive for ITV. Yeah. It's going to be huge for this morning because, I mean, already like Eamon and Ruth aren't there. Like it's these little kind of, I know we have like Dermot and Alison who I love. But
yeah, me too.
They're probably not big enough to take over as Holly and Phil yet. So where do you go from that if you lose one of your like, your sort of temple names? Like it's like losing Ant or Deck. It's, you can't really do it.
Yeah, it's hard. And like you say, like, not only that he put out a statement, but like during that Queen's Gate, as it was called, when they skipped a queue, a statement was put out, but it was a joint statement through the This Morning channels. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a really important distinction when it comes to these kinds of stories, when you're like, oh, but sure, they said something before, blah, blah. It's like, how are these statements being made and where are they coming from?
Yeah.
Because this was Philip's statement through Philip's channels. And that deliberately cuts Holly out of that story. It gives him the power to set the story straight. We've all seen enough Scandal, guys. You know about getting in front of the narrative. Like, that is what that is. And like, I would imagine for Holly, if she did not know a statement was coming and then a statement came out, although the statement on the face of it, very glowing, very positive, if you were not consulted in that process, when you have essentially been some kind of business partner for over 10 years, that is a big swing to take without looping that person in. And I know what you're saying as well about for ITV, where do they go from here? Because I don't think this is going away. Like, this feels like people are tuning in now to see them fall out on air and not in a good way. She is surely more valuable to them than
100%.
He is, right?
I think like Holly's the sort of the gem kind of. She's like the biggest woman they definitely have.
Yeah.
On ITV. And I think that like if you notice kind of with all of the sort of coverage, there is a lot more negative kind of stuff around Phil.
Yeah.
And always has been, if there has been like a kind of rocky
100%.
Thing, always has been. Like even like when he had come out on This Morning, obviously there was like loads of lovely press about him, but then it was like, oh, but isn't Holly such a good friend?
Yeah.
Like, isn't Holly
she
so
is
great?
The, no, she is a darling. Like she is like, she's beloved. Yeah. And
yeah,
it does feel like if they were to put their money on one horse, it would be her. Like you said, especially given the series of bad press that he has gotten for quite a long time, but it feels like people are taking it a lot more seriously now. Like it does feel like there's kind of this wave of just, I'm here for you, but because you're with Holly. And like, they have invested so heavily in them as a duo to the point where the show is literally called This Morning with Holly and Philip four days a week. And it also brings up, I remember, was it like 4 or 5 years ago when there was the big pressure for them? It was when Eamon and Ruth stepped away. They had this new opening for presenters on the show, and there was a huge pressure for them to hire more diverse talent because I think a report came out or something came out that said like, essentially there were no Black presenters across the majority of ITV daytime, if not evening shows. that was Lorraine, This Morning,
Loose Women,
all of that. Hardly any representation, especially in the hosting seats, whatever about the contributors. And there was a huge amount of pressure on them to deliver a more diverse lineup. And they did. They came forward. Alison Hammond got bumped to a main presenter with Dermot O'Leary, like you said. Rochelle Humes was already kind of a regular. She was then kind of more solidified in that status, filling in for Holly whenever she was out. It happened across Loose Women. It happened on Lorraine. Well, I mean, Lorraine is still there, but like the other people. And it was this huge wave. And again, at this point now, if you're ditching one, you don't keep the white man. Like, you don't. Like, you just, especially when he's the one causing you trouble. Like, it just feels like
choice.
This is going one way. And I feel, and I can't help but think that is why he rushed to the statement. Like, Holly doesn't need to make any rash decisions here, I don't think. It feels like she has a sense of power here that he does not.
She's pretty squeaky clean in terms of, like, the, even aside from, like, having the, like that people just love Holly. Like if ITV are going to keep one, like you said, they're going to keep one who's less kind of not problematic, but that kind of like she's never had a bump in the road really, at all. So they're going to keep her. Like even when and I'm a Celeb, when Ant was taking off time or whatever, like she's the one you go to when you need a safe pair of hands.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm interested to see what happens, because also Eamon Holmes is chiming in from over on GB News.
Come and here. I'm like,
you're not even on the show and you're causing trouble.
It's hard as well, because Ruth is obviously still ITV. She works on Loose Women. She did the pass between them this morning. She was hosting Loose Women this morning. So they were communicating back and forth about what was coming up after the breaks, all that kind of stuff. Only an hour or two after Eamon was on GB News, like tearing them apart. And like,
oh, they deserve BAFTA nominations for best actors. And I'm like, oh, oh my God.
Who do you think would be, I mean, surely Alison Hammond is in the running there, right? But like, Rochelle has been a really steady.
I'd say it would be Rochelle. They're going to skew younger. They're going to do like maybe the sort of the way Strictly kind of went after like Brucey got rest him when he left, and they replaced him with Claudia Winkleman. And it brings it a bit like, it's modern because there's two women kind of, but it would, because this morning has always been that. It's always been either like a man and a woman, either a couple or best friends.
Yeah.
Like there's never really been, like it's a real strong mold. So I think I'd like it for Rochelle, I have to say. I think she's great.
I do too. Yeah, I think she's great as well. And like she's obviously contracted by ATV, but she's doing a lot with them. Like she's not just on it this morning. She has the Hit List, I think it's called. Yeah, and she has, and she does like a number, she does appearances on a number of other shows constantly. So like she is well liked, it seems. Yeah. And I get what you're saying as well. And as well, Alison is like the light relief at the end of the week. And she, and again,
the
then
Friday
you're
upsetting. Girl.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if they, I know what you're saying. I think it's going to be a case of like skewing younger and having that picture perfect, like Holly having this little protege, like very this morning, or the morning show, actually, like very. Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, like that kind of vibe.
I think that like with that sort of thing with Alison, I think she's absolutely amazing, but now she's got Bake Off. They're not going to put her in another duo as well.
Yeah.
Like it's
actually,
not going to
happen. True.
And I think,
especially given that's with Channel 4 and it's not with ITV.
So yeah, I think she's kind of like, she might start like getting a few more jobs now away. But yeah, I mean, we see what happens. Like, I just think it's going to blow up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't going to just like sweep under the rug and pretend it isn't happening, because the every morning now with any story that's written about them, it'll be like, oh, they're tense. Yeah. Oh,
and every single entertainment journalist across the UK and Ireland will be watching this morning every day for the next number of weeks for the slightest crumb of like aggression or tension or stress, like anything.
God bless them.
God bless them. I would not go back. Oh my gosh. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are hella relatable with all of their recent outings. They have been caught many, many, many times over the last few weeks appearing to kind of bicker or argue or look a bit tense. There's lots of examples here.
This is the thing. I was looking at the video of the latest one.
Yeah, was this the car slamming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry, we all went through like the Grammys and everything. That was worse. They were actually having a fight. Like Ben was like sitting there like a petrified child, be like, well, maybe I will leave. And I'm like, at this rate, it's weirder to me if they get through anything without having a little bit of a tantrum. I love them. I think they're great.
So funny. Because like it also doesn't feel serious. It just feels like little tats and stuff. Yeah. They were caught this week having another kind of heated discussion. They were stopped at a red light in somewhere in Beverly Hills, and a fan snapped them through the car window, and you can see them looking somewhat tense. Again, body language experts, what are they worth? Who knows? And this comes after like a series of these events. It comes just days after Affleck was seen slamming the car door, which, look, I'm guilty of doing all the time. Uber drivers hate me. They hate, they're like, please don't slam them. I'm so sorry.
Restoration for that.
Oh, they hate me. I'm just so afraid I won't close it properly. And then they'll drive off and I'm like, your door is all bad. And it's too much. So that went viral. They also were seen attending the premiere of The Mother. Have you seen that on Netflix?
No.
Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it. I do want to see it, just because I feel like they started from, oh, how can we call J-Lo mother in a title and worked backwards to make a film? And I appreciate that.
They're literally like, how do we get the gays in? Yeah. But also make it action. It's like,
and also, I mean, every J-Lo film is kind of terrible but amazing. So I would hope
I same thing. I don't want to watch any more J-Lo films because I just feel such a sense of disappointment for her for Hustlers that she didn't get the Oscar. I'm just like,
I mean, same.
No. So they were seen kind of bickering there as well. Marry Me. Get out of here, Cassie.
Actually, that is a good film.
Is that the one with Owen Wilson where there's that song?
Yeah, it's basically a J-Lo concert and then Owen Wilson is there. And I kind of, that's what I wanted from the film. So she looked great. Beautiful dance.
One of my favorite things to do is look back at celebrity dating histories. Like if I'm ever like, oh, he's in that movie. Oh, who did he used to date? Look back at the Wilson brothers dating histories. I know you know this, Emma, but anyone who doesn't, just go down memory lane with the Wilson brothers and
treat yourself.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's a list. So yeah, Ben Affleck and Jennifer were also seen arguing at that premiere. And then obviously it comes off the back of the Grammys back in February, where they were literally on the live stream, like on the show, bickering behind Trevor Noah. And I just think it's so funny because like, these are the headlines where it's like, you're making something out of nothing. Like they're tense exchange after only a year married. And you're like, this is them fighting about like, well, you said you get the milk. No, you said you get the milk. You know what
you're
I mean?
Slouching. Like, just sit up properly. And like, also, like, Ben Affleck is, he is one of my favorite celebrities just because of how relatable he is, because he is never having a good time and I'm never having a good time. So, like, I just, I
the
understand.
Picture with the cigarette out the back. Iconic.
He's just the best. And I think as well, it kind of makes me like them a bit more because they aren't after coming back and getting back together and being so high profile and everything, they could just be like, we're great. Everything's wonderful. Like we're perfect, blah, blah, blah. They are the exact opposite. They're like, just like you said, little sort of tiffs over nothing. But as well, like even the one that was, there was a video of them on, the mother red carpet. And it was them it wasn't even an argument. It was just they weren't smiling widely for like a second.
Yes.
But then in the next like heartbeat, they were kissing. So it's clearly not a fight.
And also I've seen that clip as well where it's like people are like, oh, like look how quickly the smile drops in their face or whatever. And it's like they're there to do a job for this part of the night is not fun for them. I don't imagine maybe for her, she's like, okay, she sees it as a business. Like it is her business. And like, she's not a person that's like, do you know, like I was thinking like when you go to a wedding for the first time, but like you're a new partner and you're like, oh, let's take a couple pic. And you're like, that is not what they feel. They do not feel that. They are sick of couple pics. They have literally a whole Google website dedicated to their couple pics. They don't give a fuck. So it's like, them like dropping their smile between and her like just asking him something, like she's probably just like, is my makeup okay, like do I need to do anything, because he is also a professional to be like,
I think
actually
that's what the lip reading was.
So
I mean, fine, they're grand. I'm still amazed that J-Lo and Ben are back together. Like honestly, everyone I see pictures of them, I'm like, oh my god, like that's amazing. I'm so happy for them. I don't want anything bad to happen. I'm like, stop writing things about them fighting. They're grand. Like, we finally got true love back and this is what you're trying to do.
Don't you take this from us. No,
I can't lose it again.
And even I saw him on, and we were talking about Drew Barrymore on here a couple of weeks ago about her interviews and just how mad they are. And like Ben was on, I think he was on via Zoom or something, and he was just like raving about her, and not in like a performative way. It felt just really like that kind of bitterness you have when your partner's so much better than you.
Yeah.
He was like, she eats whatever she wants. She works out harder than me.
Yeah.
And like, she looks better than she ever has. So it was like, that's how a partner talks about a partner. Like that is literally how they do it. Like,
that's
it is
how
not...
we all talk about Jennifer Lopez. It's like, she's 54 years old.
When will time ravage her? Like it is ravaged us. Emma, let's round this up. We're nearly there, and then you can go into your slumber, your post Eurovision slumber. Loves of the week. Do you want to go first? Will I go first? What do you want to do?
Sure. I can go first. I mean, my loves of the week, it has to be Eurovision related, obviously.
Okay,
I'm going to go with Daddy Frere's cover of Hole Again by Atomic Kitten, which is so good.
But like, did he mess with the beat or something? And like, the audience just couldn't grasp.
Oh, I was wailing along singing and no time. I was like, right, grand, okay. But it was just so good. And I love him. I think he's absolutely amazing. Like, I think he's, I'm really happy for him as well, because that was the third time he was at Eurovision, but the first time he performed live because he's had such a bad run of luck. It was just so fun. That entire like section, the Liverpool songbook, like, yeah, Mel C and Atomic Kitten. Yes, please.
Really good. Yeah, like, really good.
One John Lennon song, and then the rest was like the girls. so that's going to be my love of the week, because I feel like I'm gonna transition out of my Eurovision playlist and fully into cover versions.
Yeah, back to just Hole Again. Perfect. That's a good one. And all of those are on the Eurovision channel. I was only watching them myself yesterday, so if you didn't see it, it's there. My love of the week, newness today in the last little while. Are you a Housewives fan?
I am in and out. I'm more of a Housewives gossip fan.
Equally as valid in this world. There is big Housewives gossip today. It's not gossip. It's confirmed news. Roni, Real Housewives of New York. We've loads of news today. The reboot has been confirmed. We've gotten the first trailer. It is starting July 17th. Bravo has confirmed. The new cast are like in this like video. It looks like a Maybelline ad. They look amazing. It's like to a slowed down version of New York, New York. It's very glam. It's very cool. But they've also confirmed Real Housewives of New York Legacy, which is like the ultimate girls trip for the Roni gals. And they say that they're going to be filming in the same house that they filmed the season 5 St. Bart's trip. And that production is reportedly due to start the first week of June. Sorry, my retainer is making me get really spitty over this news. It's just like I'm frothing at the mouth here.
Yeah, blame on the retainer.
The retainer. And they've confirmed the cast. It's going to be Kelly, Luann, Dorinda, Sonia, Ramona, and Kristen, the one that's like, I may not be smart, but at least I'm pretty. That one. Which I'm kind of shocked about. That is my love of the week. Just general updates on Real Housewives in New York, because that is always a good one for like all the goss, actually, because it's just it's just such an interesting cast and it's such a spotlighted city that like there's always lots of news coming out in New York. So yeah, loads of stuff coming from New York this week. Emma Kelly, I'm so glad we got to talk about Eurovision. I did not want to ask you a single question before this because I was like, I want to hear all about it. What's it like? Because I wanted to go, but then so did literally everyone else in the world. So
That's the issue.
Yeah, it's not that good, actually. Don't bother going to Sweden. Oh God,
that's terrible. Don't go.
Thank you so much for breaking it all down, like how it works, the spaces around the venue, and just talking about other stupid shite. I appreciate you always being here.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much to my guest, Emma Kelly, for joining me on today's show. And thank you to you guys for tuning in. You can find us over on Instagram at don'tquoteme.podcast and on TikTok at Orla Condon. You can find us on all your favorite podcast apps so you can listen whenever and wherever you like. We will be back next week with a brand new episode and all of the latest pop culture news. We'll talk to you then.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince.
Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.